The House included $133 million more for public education than the governor's original introduced budget, while the Senate added an additional $165 million. These funds target kindergarten through third class size reduction, expansions to early reading intervention programs, and adjustments for inflation. Both chambers are asking for a 2% pay raise for state workers and college faculty. In regards to transportation, the Senate wants to index the gas tax to rise with inflation. The House does not. The Senate rejected the governor's proposed diversion of a percentage of the sales tax for highway maintenance, while the House accepted it. The House and Senate both restore the governor's proposed 50% cut to the health care safety net, including community health centers and free clinics. The House included a $600 million payment into the Rainy Day Fund, as well as the elimination of 95% of the accelerated sales tax. Republican Delegate Kirk Cox of Colonial Heights is a senior member of the House Appropriations Committee.
What I'm most proud of is the structural balance. I always lead with that. It doesn't have a tax increase, which everyone forgets. And then really looking and listening to folks. We listen to all 100 members of the House, Republican, Democrat, the public, etc.
Cox said he was particularly pleased that the House was able to provide additional Medicaid waiver slots on top of what was mandated earlier this year by Virginia's agreement with the Department of Justice.
The administration did a really good job negotiating that, particularly trying to transition folks from the institutions to the community. The one thing we thought was a little bit lacking is the waiting list in the community, because if you let that expand too much, then you almost end up driving people back in institutions. So we were able to create an additional 200 slots for the intellectual disabilities. We would have liked to have done more. But that's a good start, especially considering what's in the budget.
Democrats acknowledge that accommodations were made on their behalf in the Senate budget, but are hinting that they will likely vote against it unless Republicans reconsider power sharing in the evenly divided chamber. Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling cast a tie-breaking vote on the first day of session to organize Senate committees with GOP majorities. Democrats argued that committees should be organized with equal numbers of members from both parties. However, Lieutenant Governor Bowling does not have the authority to vote on the budget, giving Democrats the ability to prevent its passage. Democratic Senate Leader Dick Saslaw of Fairfax.
There's some things that need to be worked out, budgetary-wise, politically-wise, everything-wise.
There's a lot of stumbling blocks along the way. That's called the political process. Absent zero changing, there probably won't be a Senate budget.
Chairman of Senate Finance, Republican Senator Walter Stosch of Henrico.
I'm disappointed that the budget is being used for some other purpose. We've asked, what is it that you need? And in terms of the budget, I think we've included all of those things that we could do, and it made sense. So it's unrelated to the budget. And frankly, I'm not sure what the request is. Until we know what we're being asked to do, I don't know whether we can do it or not.
The full House and Senate will vote on their respective budgets later this week. Craig Carper, WCVE News, Capitol Square.